Welcome to the media ministry of Daniel Mattiola Ministries. The message you are about to listen to was preached by Pastor Daniel himself. Please relax, listen, and enjoy the Word of God, and let it bring light into your life. God bless you.
I believe it's infallible, incorruptible word of the living God. I believe I am whom He says I am, and I can do what He says I can do. I opened up my heart this day to receive from God's holy word, and I declare that it will profit and prosper my life. Faith comes and increases in me as a result of God's holy word. Amen. Amen. Please open your Bibles with me to Psalms chapter 1. We're reading one verse together, and then afterwards you may be seated. For the benefit of those who may be with us for the very first time, it's just something we love to do here. We all like to stand up for the reading of God's word, and we read the opening text together. So I crave your indulgence. Psalms, the first chapter, and we're going to read the third verse together. In order for us to try and kind of read in sync, I'm going to do a countdown from 3 to 1 and so. But regardless of what translation you have, just feel free to just read it out loud. Are you in Psalms chapter 1? Amen. And you can see verse 3? Amen. Okay, let's go for it. 3, 2, 1, go. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The Bible promises that there is a type of person that if certain conditions are in place, whatever that person does shall prosper. That sounds like guaranteed success to me. It's like God saying, I guarantee you that you will succeed in whatever you lay your hands upon. This morning, I want to just quickly ask, how many people here would say you've made some new goals and you've written out a vision for this year, 2012? Now, how many people would say, you've done that before, and there were some things that you tried to do, they didn't succeed, they failed. Now, I hope you're not going to let that stop you. Because I'm about to minister a word to you that the Lord gave me for you, that I believe if you would follow the instructions of this word today, you would have guaranteed success. Amen. As a matter of fact, I have titled this morning's message, Failure is not an option. I'm bold enough to give it that title. It's based on what's in this book. That failure is not an option. I want you to help me start preaching. Just before you sit down, please look at somebody around you and preach to that person. Tell that person, failure is not an option for you in 2012. Find somebody else. Tell the person, say, failure is not an option for you in 2012. Can I have a little bit of gain, please? You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. On New Year's Eve, I shared with you what I believe was the word of the Lord for us as a church. And I titled it, Going Past the Wilderness. And I talked about the fact that just as the children of Israel were promised a promised land by God, they were promised a destiny by God. God told them specifically what he wanted to do in their lives. And he told them, he said, I would come, I would get you out of captivity, and I would take you to your promised land. I would take you to this place that is flowing with milk and honey. Now, you and I know, for as many of us as have read the Bible in the book of Exodus, that what was supposed to be a 30-day journey They say the distance from Egypt to Canaan is about 250 miles. And if they were walking, they could do it in 30 days. Ended up becoming a journey of 40 years. They went round and around and around and around and around in that wilderness. And the Bible lets us know that the majority of the people that started the journey died there. They actually did not make it into the promise that God had given them, with the exception of a few. Two major characters the Bible tells us about is Joshua and Caleb. Now, I don't want to talk about wilderness this morning. I want to talk about what happened as the next stage. Because just as they were coming out of the wilderness and they were now about to enter into their promised land, they had to face another situation. They got to a place called Jordan. Please open your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses to you. Joshua chapter 1. When you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say wait for me. We'll wait. Joshua chapter 1. Today I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to just deliver what is on his heart to you, his people. I begin to read from the first verse of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea beyond the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Somebody say prosperous.
Prosperous.
And then you will have good success. Somebody say good success.
Good success.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So here I'm reading a passage to you of an encounter that Joshua had with the Lord. They had come so far in this journey. They had been around the wilderness for so long. Now, finally, they're almost in there. And the Bible lets us know, if you had read Deuteronomy just before it, that God said to Moses, you're not going. Come up to this high place. He took him up to the high mountain, showed him the promised land. And God allowed Moses to leave the earth and come and join him in heaven without actually stepping on the promised land. The Bible said God did it so well, he did not even allow the people to see Moses. Said on record, nobody knew where God buried him. Go read it properly. The Bible actually said God buried him. And so here there's this clarion call to Joshua. Joshua has to step into the shoes of the leader of the people. He has been Moses' assistant for quite a while. And they've been on this journey. They knew what the promise was. That God said, I'm taking you to a place, a land that is filled with milk and honey. I'm going to settle you down there. Joshua and Caleb was one of the 12 that was sent to spy out the land. So they already know how beautiful this land is. But just like you and I, sometimes would encounter certain things that would stop us from moving forward. They were encountering situations that was going to stop them from moving forward. The first thing I want to draw your attention to this morning in the first verse is the word death. The Bible said, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, God spoke to Joshua's assistant. And in the second verse, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Death talks about transition. It talks about change of season. It talks about moving from one season or one state to another. You and I both know that when they say a person dies, they don't cease existing. It only means that they've gone on a transition from this earthly realm into the other realm. How many people believe that? That the day as a Christian, the day people announce that you're dead on the earth, you are still alive. It's just that now you're in glory with the Father in heaven. And so in saying this, God was saying to Joshua, listen. An end has come to the era you've known. Forget about the past. It's a new day. Just like I believe God is saying to some of us this morning, forget about 2011 and every year before that, because that's gone. 2012 is a new year. It's a new day. Some of us are going to need to forget the failures of the past, so that it does not stop us from moving into our future. It's gone. It's over. Joshua was not going to be able to bring Moses back to life. That season is gone. The next statement I want you to take notice of is in the second verse. God said to Joshua, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and this people. Arise. The original Hebrew word there is a word that talks about stepping up, standing up, making a move. In other words, you might have been sitting down before. If I say arise, it means you stand up. Now, even if you were standing before, arise would mean take action, do something. There are many of us children of God that know what God has told us. We have promises that he has given us. But the reality is, if you do not get up and do something, nothing will happen. Amen. I was sharing with a dear lady in this church in my office about a week ago about how the Lord had spoken clearly to us about what he's doing with our lives, myself and my wife in the valley. It was on the 11th of July, 1995. A minister by the name of Dick Mills came to our church in London, called myself out and called my wife out of the whole congregation and began to prophesy. And the Lord will take you to a place, and the Lord will give you wisdom, and the Lord will give you revelation, and you will have solutions to people's problems, so on and so forth. I'd even forgotten about the prophecy to a certain extent until the year 2006, when an incident happened. I think it was 2005. One of the sisters in the church felt the leading of the Lord to come grab me from the house and take me to the top of Roxy Ann. When I got to the top of Roxy Ann to start praying, I remembered a vision the Lord had given me as a teenager as I looked at the valley. But the second thing I remembered was this prophecy. Somehow, I had the video of this church service, July 11, and I watched the video. That is a word from the Lord. That's a promise, and there were some promises attached to it. The piece of paper that my pastor's wife wrote the prophecy on is still in my Bible till today. In my study Bible, it's in that very Bible. A promise remains a promise until you take a step.
Come on now.
If you will not act, nothing happens. James said, faith without corresponding action is dead. In 2012, you're going to arise. Some of us already know some things that God has clearly given us. And many times we pray, prayers. And we say things to other people like, I am waiting on God. And sometimes it's not true, because what's really happening is God is waiting on you. In 2004, when the Lord said, time up, Daniel and Ruth, get up, pack your things, I'm taking you to that place now. We could have stayed in London and kept on saying we're waiting on the Lord. And if we had stayed in London, the foundations of the work that is building would not be built. We believe that by March 2012, the foundation will be built. All we've been doing all this time is just laying the foundation. It's like a root being planted. People don't really see anything on the surface. Get ready, from March this year, people would know about this ministry. Because the building, I'm not talking about a physical structure now, is going to start to come up. And men would know what the Lord is doing, because this is not the work of a man. This is the work of the Almighty God. So number one, you're going to have to forget about the past. Number two, you're going to have to make a decision to rise up and do something. Somebody say, arise.
Arise.
And shine.
And shine.
For my light has come.
My light is come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. Then he tells him something so profound in the third verse. He said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Do you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
God is saying you decide the level of achievement you're going to have. God is saying, Joshua, this is it. I know what I've given you, but your foot is going to have to step on the ground. And as far as you're willing to step, it's yours. How many people know that the story of the children of Israel, when you get to the first chapter of Judges, the Bible said they did not take over all the land they were even supposed to take over? Was it because God had not given it to them? No. But because God left it to them to have enough faith. I feel strongly to say to somebody this year that your level of achievement this year and accomplishment is based on your faith this year. How far are you willing to go by faith? How far are you willing to go by faith? God said, wherever your foot steps on. How many people know they were going to have to fight? They were not just going to walk into those places without some. You're going to have to fight. There's somebody somewhere, there's something somewhere that is trying to stand in the way of your blessing. I remember a few weeks ago, a brother came here. He goes to another church, I think Mountain or something like that. And he was sharing with me. He said, you know, I just found out after my third job opportunity that I didn't get that it's my boss that is blocking it. He said, I found out that every time they call him for reference, he would say to them, I'm not ready. And then he said something to me. He said, I think God is teaching me how to not be offended, you know, even when somebody is doing wrong to you. That sounded really nice and spiritual and stuff, and I kind of left it, but I felt something different. The following morning, I was praying, and the Lord brought it back to me. He said, no, that's not what I'm teaching him. He needs to learn how to bulldoze the obstruction out of the way. And I picked up my phone, and I called him, and I said, hey, brother, you know, you said something yesterday. That's very nice. I said, but the Lord is saying that I need to stand in agreement with you, and we need to pray. That whoever it is that is standing in the way of your promotion must be removed in Jesus' name. We prayed a simple prayer. A couple of weeks later, he called me. He said, I got my promotion.
Amen.
And I knew that it was a confirmation that God was saying, if you're not willing to fight to take what belongs to you, somebody else will keep staying in it. I remember a preacher about 3 days ago. He said, some of you, there's somebody living in your house. He said, but if you won't arise and go possess it, somebody will keep living in your house. There's somebody's driving your car right now. I kind of shook my head. I said, no way. Lord, 2012, I'm going to take everything that belongs to me. God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. And then in the fourth verse, he goes very specific now to let him know what he had done. God is a specific God. He said, this is the land I've given you. From this wilderness all the way to Lebanon, as far as the Euphrates River. God wasn't mincing words. He wanted them to know what he had given to them. Because at the same breath, he was saying, well, it's going to be up to you. I blessed you. There are a lot of prophetic words that are being released already concerning 2012. They say it's going to be one of the best years for the saints of God. I remember just 2 days ago, I can't remember who it was. Was it Kendall Copeland's session or Benin? I can't remember. One of the preachers during his session told us, he said this year there will be incredible transference of wealth from the hand of wicked people to the hand of Christians. So there are all of these promises. But the reality is it's not necessarily every Christian that will walk into it. It's only those who are going to arise, forget about yesterday, and start marching forward. God even went to the extent of giving Joshua a number of promises. In the 5th verse, he said, no man will be able to stand before you. Do you know what that means? God is saying, as far as I'm God, nothing will stop you. But did you notice that God still did not kill the enemies before they got there? Even though God said they will not be able to stand before you, he's still expecting you to rise up and march forward towards what is yours. Your purpose, your destiny, your ministry call. There's some people God has told them to start a business. There's something God has put on your heart. There's a dream he's put in your heart. There will be obstacles, there will be resistance, but God is saying they will not be able to stand before you. But you still have to go forward. He even went to the extent of saying, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Somebody needs to receive that as the word of the Lord for you this year. That God will not leave you and he will not forsake you. Pray. Just pray quickly. Say, God will not leave me and he will not forsake me. Let's say it one more time. God will not leave me and will not forsake me. And please remind yourself of these words as you go through this year. Storms will come. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. There's none of us that is so anointed that we will not experience storms. There's no one that is so anointed. I always tell married couples that. I said, there's no marriage that is so anointed that you will not experience storms. It's not about whether you experience storms or not. It's about when you experience the storms, how prepared are you? Because it will come. For those who are not prepared, they end up in the divorce court. But those who are prepared, they weather the storm and they go through it, through thick and thin. One preacher that spoke few days ago was celebrating 61 years of marriage. I thought, wow. It was also his wife's 81st birthday. And they're still waxing strong in ministry. Dr. Morris Serrano, he spoke to us a few times. I thought, wow, that is a landmark. How many people agree with me? In the days when marriages are not even lasting 60 days. There's some jokers in Hollywood that are trying to make a mockery of God's institution. Got married, got $12 million in money, and divorced in 50-something days. If I was God, those kind of people would be brought out into the open square and given lashes of the cane. They'll receive public lashes. But that's why I'm not God. I will bring them out and say, come on, give them some, flog them a little bit. That's absolute indiscipline. Then in verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance. In verse 7, again, it repeats it. It said, only be strong and be very courageous. That's the word of the Lord to you also this morning. The storms will come. But be strong and be of good courage. Make up your mind from the beginning of the year that you're going all the way. I looked at the original meaning, the Hebrew words that was interpreted strong and courage. And it talks about stability. It talks about persistence. It talks about perseverance. There's another word, stamina. Stamina talks about your strength, your ability to stand. You see, what does not have stamina, if a little wind comes, it blows it out of the way. If I put a little piece of paper on this pulpit now and I blow it, it will move. But if I put my Bible on it, you know that if I blow it, it will move. Why? The Bible has more stamina than a piece of paper. God is calling many of us, His children, this year to have some more stamina, some spiritual backbone. Don't get offended so easily. Don't walk away from God's training plan for you so easily. Don't let the devil take what belongs to you so easily. Have some staying power. Man, we've faced some battles. 7 years. I really believe, apart from the Lord building the foundation of ministry here in this valley, He's been building us too. Because a lot of what my wife and I have gone through in 7 years, we know there were personal training to build some stamina in us and staying power. He hit us with so many things. From the first few months, the first thing was an attack on our daughter. Out of the blue, seizures began for no reason. Before we knew it, after a couple of visits to Rogue Valley and to some neurologist or whatever, we already had about $6,000 to $7,000 of bills to pay. And everybody kept telling us we can't find anything. They do EEG, we can't find anything. They do a CT scan, we can't find anything. They were going to do the MRI. I said, wait, how much is it going to cost? They said $5,000. I said, oh my God, that's enough money for us to go to London. We all got on the plane. We went to London. Because we knew the healthcare there was free. See, my daughter was born in London. She's a British citizen, so I knew she was going to get free healthcare. We came back here and we still did the MRI and they said nothing. And then finally one day, God used a woman from another ministry where we had sent an offering to call us and say, the devil is attacking your daughter, fight. It's not a health crisis, it's a spiritual battle. Yes. Today, totally free, totally healthy. Amen. For about 2 years plus now, she's not had to use any medication, nothing. What the doctors couldn't fix, the master doctor fixed. But all sorts of challenges, financial challenges, immense financial attack against our lives, against this church. I had months when I could not even pay the secretary's salary. I had to go out and work and find ways to be able to get some money to bring it in. But all of that time, I knew one thing. Daniel, you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stay. If you quit, the devil wins. One of my spiritual big brothers from the East Coast called me one day. He said, Daniel, you need to understand something. What God has called you to do is an apostolic walk. He said, no, apostolic walk is not resisted. He said, but what you're made of is going to be determined by how you react to the attacks that come. He said, when the enemy attacks you, would you pack your bags and leave? He said, you know something? If you pack your bags and leave and go somewhere else, he said, God is not going to, you know, you're not going to lose your salvation. He said, but I can assure you, the exam you refuse to take, you're still going to have to take it again. You can't go from primary school to middle school without writing some tests. And if you fall sick every time there's a test, guess what they will do? They will hold you back to make sure you write the test. There's some of us that keep running for battles. We get excited about doing something for God while the going seems good. But as soon as some tough challenges come, we quit. Have you noticed that every time you get back into the battle, it seems like you have to face the same giant again? Have you noticed? It's like you have to write the same test all over again. I'm challenging somebody this year. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. God did not lie to you when He gave you that dream. God did not lie to you when He gave you that vision. God did not lie to you when He put that thing on your heart that He said He wants you to achieve. Every vision is for an appointed time. Habakkuk said, though it may tarry, wait for it. It will surely not tarry. Wait for it. Dr. Oral Roberts taught a message one day. He said, you see, every problem has a time limit. He said, the winner is usually who can stand for the longest time. He said the enemy is standing and you're standing and is hoping you would give in. But after a while, if he sees you don't give in, he's going to have to back off and go look for somebody else. He's going to have to say, man, this one is just so stubborn. Let's just leave him alone. He just won't crack. He won't break under pressure. That is your story in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not break under pressure in 2012.
Amen.
Because God has tremendous things He wants to do in and through your life. So what is the biggest secret to this success? Why did God tell Joshua that he would make his way prosperous? Did you notice? He didn't say, I will make your way prosperous. In verse 8, he said, you will make your way prosperous. God was saying the responsibility of prosperity and good success is with you. Don't turn around and blame me if it fails. Don't say, oh man, I can't believe God didn't let him. God said, no. There's going to be no excuses for failure. If it fails, it is you.
Yes, sir.
If it succeeds, it is you.
Right.
But before he made that statement, what did he say in verse 8? He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. The word law there is the Hebrew word Torah. It's not talking about some legalistic set of rules. It's talking about the counsel of God to his people in those days. The Torah is also known as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. God was saying to Joshua, you are going to have to study all the commands, the statutes, the principles that I've taught you and the people. And don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now, that one verse is loaded. It's absolutely loaded. Many Christians read the Bible, but they don't meditate on the words of God. The word meditate talks about to go through it. Mutter to yourself. Take a verse and spend 10 minutes on one verse. And go to the concordance and say, what does this word mean? And why did he say this? And what is he trying to teach us from here? He said, you'll meditate on it. Mutter it to yourself. To the place where it goes from your spirit man now is an overflow in your spirit. It starts to come out of your mouth. He said, don't let it depart from your mouth. In other words, you will face challenges. You will face oppositions. There are tough times ahead. There are tough days ahead. But you spend time with me. Spend time with my word. How many people know when you spend time with the Bible, you're spending time with God? He said, this 2012, spend quality time with me. Don't just flip through the book and rush out to go to work. Don't spend 8 minutes with my word and give your employer 8 hours. Your employer cannot guarantee your success. I remember many years ago, 1996, we used to lead a fellowship somewhere in London. And I remember the Lord told me one day to go to the fellowship and tell everybody that your job cannot guarantee your success. There's only one thing that God says will guarantee your success. Obedience to His word. 2012 PICC Church, please don't ignore the Bible in a Year program. Please take this New Testament that we're reading, take it seriously. If you have been reading it, you will know that today we're in what chapter? See, that's how I can tell those who are reading it. Our aim is to go from Matthew to Revelation by the end of this year with our focus on understanding the kingdom of God, because 2012 is our year of kingdom living. It's going to get tougher in the world. The economy is not necessarily going to get better. It's going to get dark out there. And God is saying, shift systems. My children, do no longer depend on this world system. Get into the system of the kingdom of God. And guess what the kingdom of God comprises of? Principles that Jesus taught. So if you read Matthew to Revelation this year, every time you see the word kingdom, stop. Read the sentence before it, read the sentence after. Make sure you understand what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus came and taught about a new world, a new kingdom, a new method of operation, a new way of thinking, a new way of making things happen in your life. But do you know that in the Old Testament, the principles, the laws were taught in the Torah? So what God was saying to Joshua was that you're going to have to learn all the principles, all of my laws, all of my statutes, meditate on them. confess them, act based on them. He said, if you will do this, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I'm saying to somebody this year, 2012, that failure is not an option for you, because I found out in this book that it is possible to have guaranteed success. In order to have guaranteed success, you're going to have to know him this year. This is not the year of hit and miss. 2012 is not a year for trial and error. You've got to know that you know that you know that you know him. You've got to know that you know that you know his word. And look at the next statement. He said to observe, to do according. This was one that really got me, because the Holy Spirit told me, he said, Daniel, everything that has ever failed in your hands, it was because you were not doing it according to my instructions. Just before we left Nashville yesterday, there's an apostle, he's been to this church before from Canada. My wife and I walked up to him and we said, you know, pray for us. There's a grace on your life. Just pray for us before we leave. And he prayed for us. And then he said something. He said, I've been trying to start a new church in Toronto. He said, but things haven't quite worked. He said, but I now finally found out that I was not doing it the way according to what God said. In other words, he said, you know, after so many years of ministry experience, and he's planted churches before, you know, and so on and so forth, maybe he was doing it based on his experience. So it wasn't working. And then God finally rebukes him and said, son, you're not doing it according to my plan. Do you know God has a plan for your life? Do you know God has a unique blueprint for our lives? Every single one of us, that's why our plan is not exactly the same thing. You can't copy somebody else, because you would miss it. In 2012, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would receive an understanding of the plan of God for you, for your marriage, for your family, for your children, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that you will have the grace to do according to that plan. Everybody's plan is different. It's one thing to know, it's another to do. God said, if you are intimate with me this year, if you spend time with me, I will show you stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it reached the heart of men what God has in store for them that love him. For he has revealed it to us by what? His Spirit. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things that you have not known. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. God does nothing except he first reveals it to his servant, the prophet. So what is God saying? He's saying, I've got the plan. Don't spend time doing everything else and then spend a few minutes with me and expect success in 2012. If you want success in 2012, make up your mind to spend quality time with me. Pastor Benny Hinn did one session 3 days ago. He was talking about prayer and the hiding God. And was telling us, he said, do you know God hides? And that kind of first got me like, what is this man talking about? Then he proved to us from scripture that God sometimes plays hide and seek game with his children. Anybody ever experienced a time in your life when it seems as if you just can't hear anything from God? He said it's like God withdraws. He showed us from Job and so many other verses. He said God withdraws himself and kind of like says, all right, you seek me now. Okay, you come after me now. You used to just pray 5 minutes and you felt like you were okay. But now you spend 10 minutes and you're like, I just don't feel God. He hasn't left you. He's just hiding. He's saying, I want more time. I want more time. If you really say you love me, I want you to pursue after me. I want you to chase after me. The way a man chases after a girl that he's fallen in love with, and no matter what she does to try and resist him, he still keeps chasing. Wherever she goes, he would go. God is saying in 2012, chase after me. Amen. When you sit at my feet long enough, I will reveal secrets to you. I will give you the specific instructions of what you should do. And do you know why success is guaranteed? Because it has already been finished.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Amen.
I don't know whether you know who Dr. John Albazini is. He preached a message once and he talked about the fact that Everything that God begins, he has already finished. Isaiah, in Isaiah 47, says that he is the God that finishes the thing before the beginning. You know how Jesus is described in Revelations? The Lamb who was slain from before the foundations of the earth. Doesn't that puzzle you? Why would Bible refer to Jesus as the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth? In other words, John the Revelator, he got a revelation from heaven that Jesus was part of God's master plan from the beginning. It was not an afterthought. It was not like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this mess? I need to send Jesus. He was slain from the foundations of the earth. That's why immediately Adam and Eve sinned, God was able to tell the devil that the seed of this woman will bruise your head. Why? He already knew what he was doing. God already knew that one day the seed of a woman called Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, will come and bruise the head of the Satan. And he knew it from the beginning. That was why God could also say to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I'd already ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And that's why I can say to you this morning, every single person under the sound of my voice, before you were born into this world, God knew you. And he had a plan for you. And he has finished it already. Paul put it this way in the book of Romans. He said, to whom he foreknew, he also called. To whom he called, he also predestined. Predestined, the coinage of two words. Pre, P-R-E, and destined, meaning destination. Predestination. It means God said, I have planned your destination. God is saying, this is you, Betty. I want you to know this. I have planned the end. Then I came to the beginning and I started you, Betty. And I'm saying life will be easy for you if you stay in contact with me. Because I know the path to get to the end. Many people in this world have gone off in different directions. They don't know that there's a plan end for themselves. I'm challenging you this year. If you will walk with him, failure will not be an option. I have made up my mind that I will walk with him this year. And failure will not be an option. But there's a warning. Genesis to Revelation is full of the word of God. And God gave us his word on purpose. Encouragement is there. Warnings are there. This is the warning, Psalm 1. And I'm stopping very soon. Psalms 1. I'm just giving it to you like the Spirit of the Lord gave it to me. And like I tell you many times, I preach it to myself. I make up my mind to obey it even before I get to stand before you. Because I'm saying, God, don't let me be a hypocrite. Don't let me say to people what I'm not willing to do myself. In Psalms chapter 1, remember we read verse 3 a little while ago when we started? And in verse 3 we read that God said, this person, whatever he lays his hands upon, will not fail. Do you remember that? That was what we read at the beginning. That there's a person who will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bring forth its fruit in its season. It means your life will be fruitful and whose leaves will not wither. It means, you know, anything that represents dryness or dying or withering will not happen in your life. Your life will be fruitful. It will be prosperous. And the last statement says, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, who is that man? Verse 1 and verse 2 gives us the warning. He says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Three powerful warnings for 2012. Very powerful warnings. I don't have time to go through all of the Hebrew. I could go in through that. It's on my iPad, but I don't have that time. I just want you to take note of these three things. And please feel free to go home and check this out. The first category, he said, a man is blessed, a woman is blessed, when they do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The Hebrew word ungodly there says the morally unrighteous or morally wrong. In other words, people who are not living right with God, don't let them be your counselors in 2012. Sin deafens the ears. The Bible says, God said, I will leave them to themselves. You want to rebel against my laws? You want to fight against me? Don't worry, I will leave you to yourself. So people who are morally wrong should not be your counselor. Don't let Fox News, ABC, CNN, or any news station be your counselor this year. When they say it's going to be horrible, the economy is going to be really tough. Don't become afraid. They are not your counselors. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God is your counselor. So David is inspired of the Lord, and he begins his Psalms. And the first verse, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He said, blessed will you be if you don't act based on counsel given to you by morally wrong people. Or stand in the way of sinners. That word stand actually means to continue. It doesn't mean stand like stationary. It means to continue. So literally what it's saying is, even if you've had some sinful habits or sinful ways in your life in 2012, don't continue in it. Because the ways of sinners is sin. What do sinners do? Sinners sin. What do rebellious do? Rebellious people do. They rebel. So if it says don't continue in the way of sinners, it means you check out your life this year. Number one, don't take counsel from the ungodly. Number two, don't continue in any lifestyle choice that God says is sin. Don't even try to argue. Don't try to say, well, it's okay to smoke. Well, it's okay to drink. Maybe I can drink 3 pints, but not 4. Don't even argue about anything that God says stay away from. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone this year. And the third one, he said, and not sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't hang out in the midst of people who are scorning the things of God, making a mockery of the ways of God, or the people who are murmurers and complainers this year. Why? Because they will always paint a wrong picture and they might get you into trouble. But he says in verse 2, he says, for this person that is blessed, his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. That word Lord there again is the word Torah. And in it does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree. That's the warning to us. Don't listen to the ungodly. Don't continue in the way of sin. Don't sit in the seat of scornful people. But let the word of God be your delight. I want to close by sharing just one more verse with you. Thank you, Jesus. Open to Joshua chapter 3. Later on, after Joshua had stepped forward to do what God had told him to do, he makes the statement. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and so on and so forth. Now, what I want you to notice is the phrase without fail. I don't have time to show you a lot more, but I actually put down about 3 different references of God being referred to as one who would not fail. Another one was David speaking to his son Solomon about what Solomon was supposed to do and said, God will not fail. And by the time the Holy Spirit showed me the 3rd reference, and he put this very strongly on my heart, he said, God cannot fail. I know you would have thought, what audacity to put a message and give it a title, failure is not an option. Because everybody believes that failure is an option. But I'm saying that if you choose to believe the word of God in 2012, failure will not be an option. Why? Because God cannot fail. And guess what? If you take Joshua's advice and David's advice, it means you're going to be partnering with God in 2012. And if you're partnering with God, intimately working with him, doing only what he does. You know why Jesus never failed? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I see my Father say. 2012, I'm not going to lay hands to pray for any sick unless God tells me so. 2012, I'm not going to say nothing to anybody unless he tells me so. Because I realized that in myself, I can fail. But in God, I cannot fail. And so I'm encouraging you this year, 2012, make up your mind. You will partner with God. And I guarantee you that failure will not be an option in your life. Let's give the Lord some praise this morning.
I hope you were blessed by the sermon you have just listened to. To obtain a CD or DVD of other messages preached by Pastor Daniel, call us at 541-776-8532. God bless you.